Today is Maundy Thursday, the day we remember the Last Supper of Jesus with the disciples. I'm sure on that Last Supper, the atmosphere was very tense. The Passover, at least according to Luke, was a special time, and normally the disciples would be observing the Passover with their families, or their households, as the Bible called them to. But because they were traveling with Jesus, they observed the Passover with Jesus and with their friends. The atmosphere in Jerusalem as a whole was tense because of the Passover coming up. The Roman soldiers were on a special alert. There were extra soldiers called in. And of course, there was the tension that the disciples felt in the confrontations between Jesus and the priests in the temple. So I imagine the atmosphere in the room at the Last Supper was somewhat tense. But they were all together in one place. Jesus, the 12 disciples, the women who traveled with them, and others. They had traveled with Jesus. They had studied with Jesus. They had prayed with Jesus, watched Jesus do miracles, eaten with Jesus. They were like a family, this group of disciples, this large group of disciples. Only even more, they were a community. They were a group of people who were intensely dedicated to each other and devoted to each other because of their love for Jesus. A community is a group with strong ties of trust and commitment to each other. Community, true community, is a rare and precious thing. You don't find it very often. It means to be connected to others. It means to have a shared support system. And it means to be part of something bigger than ourselves. Human beings are created to be in community. We are meant to be with other people. We're not meant to be isolated or alone or separated all the time. We need a community to connect with, to support us. And we need to support other people. But true community is rare. Community needs to be tended and nourished and cared for in order for it to thrive. Jesus and the disciples were a community of friends, and now that he's near his death, Jesus wants to make sure that this community continues beyond his death. He wants to make sure it's going to continue after he's gone. So what he does is, at the Last Supper, he gives them a model of community. It's a way of being in community that is based on selflessness and love, sharing, and servanthood. Sometimes it's called the beloved community. I like that phrase. In the Old Testament, Moses also gave a model for community. We read about it tonight. Every year at the time of the Passover, each household is to take a lamb and slaughter the lamb and eat the lamb together and remember the story of their deliverance out of slavery in Egypt. That is the way the Jewish community has held together for 3,000 years. By remembering that story, by observing the Passover, by creating that community that has existed for so long. So Jesus also gave a model for the community of Jesus. And he did it in two ways. The first thing he did was to wash the disciples' feet. During the Last Supper, he got up from the table and he tied a towel around his waist and he got a basin and he washed the feet of the disciples. He shocked them because of this reversal of roles. Peter said, "You'll never wash my feet." He says, "I have to wash your feet if you're going to have anything to do with me. If you're going to be part of this community, you have to do this." So by shocking them, he made his point really well. He wanted to teach them something radical, that their life together was supposed to be one of servanthood and selflessness. Not competition, not hierarchy, not exclusiveness, but servanthood and giving away self. And he gave them a new command. He says, "I give you this command to love one another." That's the model of community that he gave us. The second thing Jesus did was to give a meal of remembrance. He took a loaf of bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said words that were shocking to them. He said, "This is my body. Eat it in remembrance of me." And he did the same thing with a cup. "This is my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me." So those shocking words were ways to put indelibly in their memory what he wanted them to keep, this model of community. Sharing a meal together is a way that human beings make community. Sharing a meal means trust and openness. It means sharing, goodwill. It means pleasure and conviviality. It's what people do when they want to share each other's company. And Jesus gave the disciples this meal that they were supposed to share as a community, as a beloved community. And followers of Jesus have observed it for 2,000 years to keep that community. We call this meal Holy Communion. So what Jesus was doing at the Last Supper was creating a community, creating this community of the beloved. He was saying, "This is how I want you to live together, with servanthood, selflessness, sharing, support. And when you do," he says, "I will be there with you." Well, we at St. Anthony's are a community. We meet together. We support each other. We share our resources with each other in stewardship. We care for each other. Sometimes we say that we're a church family. Well, you can't join a family or leave a family, but you can join a community and you can leave a community. And people join us. People leave us. We're a community of people. We are the beloved community of Jesus in this place. We have this shared life together. It's a life that is based on trust and commitment, on sharing, on respecting each other and caring for each other, of being inclusive and welcoming others and having hospitality. So we are God's beloved community in this place. Communion means union with. And when we're in communion with each other, it means that we have a union. When we're in communion with God, it means that we have union with God. So when we come to the table each Sunday and we have Holy Communion, we're in communion with each other and with God. The community is sustained and strengthened by the meal. So when we come to communion, we remember that we are God's beloved community. So tonight we're going to do foot washing. We're going to obey Jesus' commandment to wash one another's feet. And the way we'll do this is that I will wash Charles' feet as an example. He'll wash mine. And if anyone else would like to come up and do foot washing, you're invited to do so. For some people, it's a little squeamish. because we're not used to touching each other's feet. But once you do it, it's really a wonderful experience. So if you haven't done it before, I hope you'll think about it and give it a try. So we'll do that now.